All of those problems we just discussed and more could be found in the last decade at a single correctional facility in Baltimore, Maryland. Before it was partially cleaned up by the feds, the Baltimore City Detention Center was in the hands of the inmates and run by the Black Gorilla Family Gang. They ran the jail as their own criminal enterprise, literally employing the prison guards as smugglers, enforcers, and in some cases, lovers. Jeffrey Toobin went into the BCDC facility to write a profile for the New Yorker magazine.
I think all of us knew at some level that there were these things as prison gangs, but what really astonished me about what went on in Baltimore was not just that there was a gang running the jail, but that the guards were complicit, and the guards were mostly women who were under the sway of men with whom they were in relationships.
And, you know, it's part of the story in ways that relate to where this prison is, the neighborhood that it's in, the stresses socioeconomically in Baltimore, and the fact that at one time, 75% of the guards were women at this facility, partly because men couldn't get these jobs.
Well, that was part of what attracted me, is in addition to sort of the sordid details of what was going on at this jail, it was a window into what was happening in Baltimore. Men in Baltimore cannot pass the screens that are required for a job in a jail like this. You know, you need to not have a criminal record. You need to have a high school degree. You need to pass a drug test. Unfortunately, large numbers of men in this overwhelmingly African-American city cannot pass those screens, so they can't get these jobs. So you have overwhelmingly female guards, and they are in some ways in relationships, in some ways consensual relationships with the inmates in the jail.
And part of this employment situation that you describe is an opportunity for the Black Gorilla Family, the gang running this facility in Baltimore, to actually recruit women to become employees and then become the agents of an enterprise within this jail.
Right. Yet another, you know, social problem that is reflected in this piece is that lots of people in jail have big drug problems, addiction problems. So they're a very good market if you can start getting drugs and cigarettes and booze into a jail. So the Black Gorilla Family recruits and corrupts these female guards, gets them to bring in cell phones, which are the critical ingredient here because they pass money through the use of codes on cell phones, and then these corrupt guards bring in the drugs that meet the demand of the addicted inmates. It's a perfect system in a way.
Can you convey how confident this man who eventually was convicted, or at least apprehended and pulled out of that facility, Tavon White, how confident he was that he ruled this facility and how his relationships with women reflected a long-standing misogyny of the Black Gorilla Family going back decades?
Right. Well, the Black Gorilla Family was founded by George Jackson, the famous 60s radical in California, author of the famous book Soledad Brother, which I don't think people realize just how sexist it was. I mean, this attitude towards women as lesser beings has a long history. And Tavon White, who was the head of the Black Gorilla Family in this Baltimore facility, you know, he had five children with four different guards. Two of the guards had his name tattooed on their body. The control he exerted was really extraordinary, and the contempt that was reflected. And I have to say, it was really sobering for me to walk around this facility, which is known as BCDC, and every single inmate is Black. Not most of them, not a lot of them, every single one. In a city that is 65% African-American, and, you know, to have an all-Black jail is really a very troubling and disturbing commentary on what goes on here. I have to say, I don't really feel any sympathy for the gang members who are running the place. I mean, I think those are just stone-cold criminals. I did have a measure of sympathy for these women who were the guards, who clearly should not have been doing what they were doing, but given the choices that were available to them, they clearly made bad ones, and I don't endorse them in any way, but I did have a certain degree of sympathy for these women who were cut off from men in many respects and were manipulated.
When jail is worse than prison. What does that say about our criminal justice system based on your investigation here?
It's a lot about drugs, that virtually all of these inmates were in for drug offenses of one kind or another, and just the pervasiveness of that problem and the ineffectiveness of the law enforcement response, and that we don't know what to do with people. One of the inmates who was involved in this scheme, you know, again, I didn't have much sympathy for him, but when he went to his sentencing, he said to the judge, he said, look, you know, I've been in jail, he was about 25 years old, my entire adult life. This is the only world I learned. And yes, he did wrong and shouldn't have done what he did. But, you know, he was saying something meaningful there, too, that jails and prisons don't make people better.
Jeffrey Toobin, staff writer for The New Yorker. His profile of the BCDC facility is in the current issue of The New Yorker. He's a legal analyst for CNN. Thanks, Jeffrey.
Thanks, John.